Luke chapter 4.
We'll draw our attention to verse 16 here in just a moment. From time to time in church life, you might hear someone refer to the means of grace, and I think people might have different levels of comfort with that phrase. But often what people are referring to when they use that phrase, they're referring to the means or the channels through which we receive God's help and enablement, or His grace. Unfortunately, we often, I think, neglect one of the greatest means of grace that we have. Prayer very quickly falls by the wayside in the Christian life. Now, we are living in super interesting times right now in the church. I think many generations who have gone before us have been in much crazier times, but there's no question. These are unique. These are odd, challenging in their own weird sort of way. And I just want to remind you here this morning, just to say, this is a reminder just as much to you as it is to myself. Don't forget to pray. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says to us, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." And if you remember what's going on in Hebrews, why is he telling us that we can go into the throne room of God the Father with confidence? That really wasn't something the Old Testament Jewish people could do. You remember the tabernacle and the temple and the Holy of Holies, and no one could go into that special place. And in the book of Hebrews, we learn all about this perfect high priest who's the final, ultimate sacrifice, who has opened up the veil so that you and I could go straight into the presence of God. And now here in Hebrews 4:16, the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us then with confidence, based on the work of Christ, draw near to the throne." You can go directly into the throne room of God to Him. The purpose that's stated in that verse is that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We all need God's grace and His help today. And there are three groups of people in particular that I want to remind you to pray for, so that we might be asking God for that grace, so that we might attain that help. And for each group of people that I draw your attention to here this morning, I've actually asked one of our men if they would come up. Basically, after I've spoken about each one of those individual groups, I've asked them, one of the men from our church to come up and pray for that group specifically before I move on to the next. So I'm kind of going to preach almost like three little sermonettes, and they're going to be interspersed with prayer this morning. And I think it'll be hopefully a very edifying, helpful time for us. So the first group of people that I want to remind you to pray for, and obviously there are so many groups of people that we should be praying for, I'm just going to draw your attention to three, but the first group of people, don't forget to pray for your government. Would you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2? We'll draw our attention to that text here in just a moment. But I think that we are all a little bit, or frankly maybe a lot bit, tired and weary right now, and greater levels of angst are occurring within each and every one of us. And for many people, what they're weary of is not actually a virus, but the response to and handling of a virus. You have people on all sides of the issue, probably even right here in our church, and I think the funny thing is the nature of this situation, people may be on different sides of the issue, even under the same roof, even in our homes. There are those who are quite pleased, and there are those who are beyond frustrated right now. There are those who believe the government should be doing more. And there are those who believe the government has far, far overstepped its bounds and far, far overreached. There are those who are fearful. And there are those who, frankly, are not fearful or concerned or worried at all. I think one thing that is for sure, all of us have an opinion. I have mine, and you have yours. And if there's something that most of us are doing right now, myself included, it's talking about the government. And in some ways, let's just be honest, how could you not? The government's actions are front and central to all of our lives. We're all talking about the government right now, which I don't think is inherently wrong, per se. But how many of us could honestly say that we're friends? Could you say that? Would you say, "I have prayed for our government"? My family has prayed for our government. Personally, when I look at the passage that I'm going to draw your attention to, I feel extremely convicted about my failure in this regard. Let me just read 1 Timothy 2:1-4 and make a couple comments. Paul writes to to Timothy, a younger pastor, and he says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. The words that were used there, they're all different synonyms for prayer. So these different types of prayer should be made for everyone. And then he gets more specific in verse 2. For kings and all who are in high positions. And then we're given the purpose, one of the reasons why we pray, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. This is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you realize that as Christians, we actually have a biblical obligation to pray for our government? And those prayers should include such things as supplications and intercessions. And even actually, I think if you look at verse 1, did you catch the word thanksgiving? That somewhere in there are things we should find to thank God for. One of the reasons we pray, though, based on this passage, is so that we can continue to live out our Christian faith the way that we think God wants us to live it out. And we could do that quietly and peacefully and undisturbed in many ways, keeping the focus ever on the mission that God has placed before us. To take the good news and to spread it, to tell people about Jesus and what He's done for them and how He's died for them to satisfy their ask of God. And how they can have hope and how they can have life. We have a mission to fulfill. There's a way God wants us to live out our faith here on this earth. And so we go to God recognizing that actually the way that the government functions, the decisions that they make, those things have an impact on us very directly. And so God reminds us to enter into His throne room and make prayers for our governing officials. And so we're going to take some time right now in our service to try to do that and to try to obey this command together. One of our men is going to come up and pray for our government. I would just ask you, if you pause in your chair and silently pray yourself, calling along, maybe saying amen in your heart to the Lord, yes, God, I agree with that, yes, yes, yes. Basically agreeing with the prayers that are being prayed, praying yourself. Let's take a few minutes.